Chapter 61. I'd like to read the first three verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to heal. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he, the Lord, might be glorified. Isaiah, as we know, ministered to the southern kingdom of Judah. He did so during the last years of the northern kingdom of Israel. During the time of his ministry, Assyria was the greatest economic and military power in the world. They were expanding their empire, conquering nation upon nation. And they, of course, would conquer the northern kingdom of Israel and would threaten the southern kingdom of Judah to which Isaiah was preaching. In Isaiah chapter 7 through chapter 10, we'll not turn there, but Isaiah speaks of the fall of the northern kingdom of Israel. He does so by has a way of warning to the southern kingdom of Judah. He speaks very explicitly of the sins that had led to the fall of the northern kingdom, warning Judah that they were headed for the same demise. The reason, because they were living the same sinful lifestyle. One of the characteristics of Isaiah's message was that he would alternate the message of coming judgment with a message of hope, the message of blessing in relation to the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now, our text is part of the message of hope, part of the message of blessing because of Christ. I want to speak this morning on opened prison doors and broken chains. Open prison doors and broken chains. First thing we want to do is just look at our text, Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. It speaks of the mission of Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus Christ read this portion of Scripture to those who were gathered in a synagogue in Nazareth and applied it to himself. Notice in Luke chapter 4, begin reading with verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Reading from the same scripture that you and I just read. That thrills me to think of Jesus reading from the same scripture that we just read. Here's what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So the passage speaks of the mission of Jesus Christ. So we see here in Isaiah 61 that Jesus Christ was anointed of God to preach good tidings. He was sent of God to bind up, to heal, to mend, to restore. He was anointed and sent of God to proclaim liberty. This is further explained or defined there in Isaiah 61. And the opening, or to preach good tidings. So he came describing and announcing freedom, further explained, and the opening of the prison. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The allusion there is to the year of Jubilee, when there was a proclamation of liberty, a release of debts and restoration of inheritances. So he would bring peace. He would bring reconciliation. Notice also there in verse 2, the day of vengeance of our God. The vengeance of God would be poured out upon Jesus Christ because sin was placed upon him. So he would bear the full penalty of sin, this Jesus. Notice also that he was anointed and sent of God to comfort. That is, he would sympathize, he would soothe, he would calm, he would cheer individuals. He was also, in verse 3, anointed and sent of God to transform lives. Notice what it says. To give beauty, splendor for ashes. The oil of joy, pleasure and gladness for mourning. The garment of praise, exhilaration for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, God's people. The planting, the work of the Lord. There's a message there. He is the one who turns the gloom into gladness. And all of this in verse 3 is for this purpose, that he might be glorified. That he might be glorified. All is for the honor and admiration and the exaltation of the Lord. So we see here that Jesus Christ is the God anointed, God sent, emancipator, and restore. So we have something of the mission of Christ. But notice those for whom he was sent. Verse 1, the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted. The desolate. The devastated. The miserable. The wretched. The downcast. Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. Notice also there in verse 1, the captives, the prisoners, the abductees. Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the captives. Notice also, them that are bound, chained, shackled, detained. Jesus Christ came to open the prison doors to them that are bound. In verse 2, all that mourn, grieve, lament, Jesus came to do what? To comfort all that mourn. Notice also the words ashes in verse 3. A symbol of suffering and grief, humility, and hurt. And Jesus came to do what? To give beauty for ashes. Notice mourning. Again, a picture of grief and wailing and weeping. And Jesus came to do what? To give joy for mourning. Notice also the spirit of heaviness, the weighted down. And Jesus came to give the praise, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So we see to for whom Jesus came. He came as the remedy and hope for man. Now we want to make application of what we read here in Isaiah 61. First of all, we want to apply it to the unsaved. If you're here and lost today, you need to read these verses. You need to see yourself in these verses. The most horrendous of all earthly imprisonments is the enslavement of the unsaved sinner. We read in Proverbs 5, verse 22, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. That describes the imprisonment of the unsaved sinner. He shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Called Brother Dennis this morning. I think I scared him half to death. I thought he was probably thinking that I wasn't going to be here and he was going to have to give a lesson. But I asked him if I could borrow a chain just to illustrate. And he brought me a chain. The unsaved sinner is imprisoned, shackled by the binding power of spiritual death. Satan and sin. He's bound. Now, this chain does not do justice to how the unsaved sinner is bound. But I would challenge anyone here to break this chain. You can't do it. You can pull and pull. You can get the strongest one in here and pull on this chain, try to break this chain. You can't break it. You cannot break this chain. An unsaved sinner, you are held in a chain much stronger than this. And you can't break it. None of your relatives can break it. This church can't break it. You cannot break. You cannot set yourself free from this sin, from this chain. And anyone who believes that all they have to do is say a prayer and they'll be released, I would challenge them to come and pray over this chain. You're not going to break it. There isn't a prayer that's going to break this chain. Well, I'll just will it to be so. Come up here and will it to be so. It's not going to break. It's not going to break. And again, the unsaved sinner is held in a chain much stronger. It's a chain of, they're in the depths. There they are chained. The prison they are in is dark. It's a prison of ignorance. Ignorance of thinking that you can break this chain. That on your deathbed you'll just decide to break the chain. It's not going to happen. You're enslaved to enmity, bankruptcy, guilt, condemnation. And you live your life just dragging this chain. Everywhere you go is this chain. You go to bed at night, there's this chain. You wake up in the morning, there's this chain. You go through the day, there it is. You cannot get away from it. You cannot break free. In fact, the more you try, the tighter the chain becomes, and the more painful it becomes. The chains and the shackles of the enslavement of the unsaved sinner is beyond description. There is no slavery more dismal, more disabling, more debilitating, more degrading and shameful than the enslavement of the unsaved sinner. But be it known to every unsaved sinner who is in this room today, you cannot break the chain. But let it be known that Jesus Christ has been anointed and sent of God for sinners such as yourself. He has access to the prison of sin, and He alone can get past all of Satan's guards. And He alone can unhinge. He doesn't just open. He alone can unhinge the iron gates and come into the cell where you are located. And He alone can break the holding and binding power of sin. Break these chains. Only He can break the chains. Well, Brother Dan, I've been baptized. We'll wrap this chain around you. We'll dip you in this water. Immerse you in this water. You'll come out with these chains still on. There is no water that's going to break these chains. Well, I come to church and I try to do the best I can. And you come to church with these chains, and you leave with these chains. I'm raised in a Christian home that will not break this chain. Be it known to every unsaved sinner, only Jesus Christ can break this chain. No other. So there's the sinner. They're behind the iron gates. They're chained. And only Jesus Christ can break those chains. And He does more than break the chains. He then raises the condemned sinner. Only Jesus can go into that prison cell, break the chains, bring, fetch, and lift the sinner from under the crushing weight of sin and death and out of the depths of unrighteousness and wickedness. Jesus Christ, let it be known to every unsaved sinner here today that Jesus Christ has been anointed and sent of God to deliver and free the guilty and condemned sinner. Only Jesus can free you from the destruction, from the loss, from the misery and the infection of sin. Only Jesus can deliver you from the curse of the law. Only He. There is none other. Only Jesus can come into your prison cell, loose the chains, break the chains, lift you out of that prison, and miraculously transform your life. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, transforming in you into trees of righteousness. Folks, that's a miracle. That's salvation. Oh, thank God for a Savior that can break these chains. And again, we're talking about chains. This is nothing. This is a piece of thread compared to the chain that holds the unsaved sinner. You can't break it. But thank God for a Savior, for an emancipator, for a heart fixer. We that are saved, we can recall the day when Jesus came to the prison house. There we were, behind the iron doors, down in the dungeon. Jesus came, and He overcame all of Satan's guards. And may I say, unsaved sinner, there are Satan's guards all around you. Only Jesus can overcome those guards. He overcame the guards. He unhinged the prison doors. He broke our chains and set us free. Remember? Do you remember the day when Jesus broke these chains? Do you remember hearing that sound? Oh, we didn't hear it literally. But do you remember when those chains dropped and we were set free? That's a miracle. Only Jesus can do that. And only He can save your unsaved soul today. make application to the saved. We've been set free. What a glorious day it was. But we have this awful tendency to be taken captive. I'm not talking about losing our salvation. We have this awful tendency of being taken captive and imprisoned and bound with chains, again, much stronger than this chain. Paul exhorted the Galatians in Galatians 5 and verse 1, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The chains have been broken, but this world has all kinds of chains. And you and I can be chained once again, not in the same way. But this world has chains. Satan has chains for God's people. For every single one of us, Satan has some chains. And he's just waiting to wrap them around us, so we can be entangled again. He exhorted Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then proceeded to tell them, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. We are in a spiritual war. We're coming to the end of the battle. And the battle is getting more and more fierce by the moment. Because Satan knows the end is almost here. And God's people cannot afford to be bound in chains. You cannot fight the battle if you're bound with these chains. And again, we're talking about chains much stronger than what we're holding in our hand. He went on in 2 Timothy verse 25. He spoke of those who oppose themselves. And he expressed his desire that God would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I don't want to be a captive of Satan. I don't want to be a captive of this world. But he has chains for each one of us. He may have a different chain for me than you, and vice versa. But be sure of this, he has chains. All through the Word of God, we see God's people in terrible places of confinement. There in the book of Exodus, we see Israel, God's people, in Egyptian bondage. Their slavery is reviewed in the book of Numbers, in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 20, but the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt. Psalm 105, verse 18, in relation to Joseph, whose feet they hurt with fetters. chains wrapped around his feet. He was laid in iron. We read of Samson, the book of Judges, chapter 16, verse 21. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes. You say, oh, that's horrible. Do you realize how many of God's people the Philistines have taken and put out their eyes? They can't see anymore. They're blind. And it goes on to say, and they brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. And we get the picture of Samson just going round, round and round, dragging the chains. He couldn't break them. And neither can you. 2 Kings 25, verse 7, we read of Zedekiah. They bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. You know how many of God's people are bound with chains and have been carried off to Babylon and have become Babylonians? We read in 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 11, referring to Manasseh, and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. Notice the order in both of those verses. First bound and then carried to Babylon. Psalm 107, verse 10. We read of those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Psalm 107, verse 16, referring to the Lord's deliverance of such. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Psalm 137, verse 3, referring to Babylonian captivity. They that carried us away captive. Jeremiah 13, verse 17, the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Job 37, verse 15, referring to Jeremiah, we read that they smote him and they put him in prison. And in Jeremiah 38 and verse 6, then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon that was in the court of the prison. And they let Jeremiah down with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Jeremiah 40 verse 1, we see Jeremiah bound in chains. Lamentations 3 verse 53, again referring to Jeremiah. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Mark 6, verse 17, we read of John the Baptist, for Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon him and bound him in prison. And in Acts 12, verse 5, we read Peter was kept in prison. We read in Acts 16, that Paul and Silas were thrust into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. We read in Acts 21 and 33, with reference to Paul, he was bound with two chains. And in Acts 22 and verse 25, they bound him with thongs, leather straps. And in Acts 28 and 20, Paul said, I am bound with this chain. Each of these references speak of God's people in a physical place of imprisonment, a physical place of confinement, a physical lockdown. We all realize that the day may soon be upon us that we will be put in physical prisons, and that we will be bound with physical chains. And many of God's people have said, I won't go. They'll have to kill me. That may be so. But God's people are fearful. And they buy into a lot of nonsense today because they're so fearful that the day may come where they are put in a physical chain. But I'm here to tell you today, there's chains worse than physical chains. And God's people, many of them are already bound with them. They're already bound. There are spiritual dungeons, far more cavernous and extensive than any physical place of imprisonment. There are spiritual pits, far more desolate and gloomy and miserable than any physical place of imprisonment. There are spiritual confinements that are darker and more demoralizing than any physical place of imprisonment. There are spiritual entrapments that are more inescapable than physical prisons. There are spiritual prisons more guarded than these physical places of imprisonment. Here's how bad it is for those in, I'm talking about God's people, in spiritual chains. You can come to them, tell them how they can be set free from this chain. You can come to them and hand them the key. And they are so bound, they get angry with you. Now that's pitiful. But that's where we are. You know how many people get mad at me and can't stand me? Because I've come to them with the key to break this chain? You get mad at somebody that comes to you with the key, you're more than chained, you're crazy. You've lost your mind. You've been in prison so long that you've become insane. Sadly, that describes some of God's people. There are spiritual chains that are tighter than we could wrap this chain around us. There are spiritual chains heavier than any physical chain, more restrictive than any physical chain. There are iron gates, spiritually, more indestructible than the gates of physical places of imprisonments. The world is filled. Satan has many devices designed to chain us. Here we are in the last days of the battle. Satan and the forces of hell are in a rage. And there's God's people living in the prison camps, dragging around a ball and chain. They are of no use in the battle. They have no use in the battle. They can't fight the battle. Oh, they can sit back. And they can tell you how the battle ought to be fought. It's amazing how many experts are in chains. It's just amazing. And you listen to them, and guess what? You'll be in the same chains. But they can't fight the battle. We need everyone to fight the battle. We can't afford to be in chains. It's sad, but this is the noise you hear when folks walk in the church today. And they sit down. There it is. Everywhere they go, there's these chains. God help you if you tell them about them. What are some of these chains? Perhaps the strongest one of all is pride. It'll choke you to death. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy others as well. Worldliness is chain. How many are chained by their circumstances? These folks would tell you that it's not their fault, but it is. How many are chained by life situations and life problems? Folks, Jesus Christ has the key to unlock the chains. You don't have to be chained to your circumstances. It's chains of hypocrisy. Some people have lived in hypocrisy for so long that they don't even know it is hypocrisy anymore. But there's the chains of hypocrisy, the chains of religion. Chain of depression. It's a chain. Don't accept it. It's a chain. What about jealousy? It's a chain. Backbiting. Anger. Malice. Bitterness. Chain. There's the chain of unforgiveness. So many of God's people have been arrested. Now they sit in prison, bound and shackled and held secure by the chains. This is where they live. They drag around this chain everywhere they go. Oh, every now and then, something will happen that'll put a smile on their face and give them a little bit of joy, but it won't be long they're reminded of this. The joy don't last long. And there they live. In the chains. And as you sit in the prison cell, you begin to have the feeling of suffocation. Because the walls of that cell begin to close in. And the chain gets tighter and tighter. And you think, I'm not going to make it. But don't you see, Jesus Christ can break the chains. He can break the chains and set you free. And He's the only one who can. Oh, how much damage we do to our souls and even the souls of others because of these prison houses in chains. Chains will fill your life with turmoil. The hours passed. Folks, we're not getting younger. Our journey is coming to an end. Do you want to spend your journey chained? We're almost home. When we get there, the chains will be broken. Praise the Lord. But these chains cause us to be weary. You drag around a chain all day and you attach a bowling ball to it. Guess what? At the end of the day, you're going to be tired. You're going to be tired. Not only that, there are things that you would like to do you can't do. Because you got this chain. You got this ball. And you can't do the things that you like to do. Dragging around this chain fills your life with frustration also. Because you ever notice, you even if you try to ignore the chain, even if you pretend it's not there, I'm just going to imagine it's not there, that don't work. You're always reminded of this chain. Somebody, if you don't remember it, somebody will remind you of it. All the discouragement caused by chains. We don't have to live our life that way. Amen. We don't have to stay chained. Because we know there is one who can break these chains. Oh, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? And we all have chains. There isn't one of us here that does not have some chain in our life. But isn't it wonderful when the Lord comes in, comes where we are, breaks the chain, and falls. And we walk out there, leaving the chain behind. Once that has happened, may I ask, why do you go back and pick up the chain? Why do we do that? But we do. All that we might hear today, the chains dropping off the ankles, round the neck of God's people, that we can be engaged in the warfare. Back to the lost sinner, and we'll close. You are held by a chain. You move around with a chain that you cannot break, that no one can break. You know what you can do with this chain also? God's people do this. I'm getting backtracking. You can paint it, polish it, make it look pretty. But guess what? Still a chain. So it is with the lost sinner. You can polish it up with good works, make it look nice, put on the religious garb. You can even put clothing over it. But guess what? Still there. It's still there. No matter what you do, the chain is still there. There's only one, Jesus, who can break the chain and set you free. And we pray that every lost sinner here would be set free from these chains and have a life that you've never known up until now. But Jesus Christ came to set at liberty the captives. That's true of the lost sinner. That is true of you and I as God's people. Open prison gates and broken chains. What a beautiful picture that is. As I see in my mind, the doors are open, the chains have fallen, and there's liberty. We've been set free as God's people. Why? Why do I go back to the chains? God help us. Because we individually, collectively as a church, cannot afford in this day to be bound with chains. We can't afford it. There's too much at stake. Moms and dads, there's too much at stake concerning your children for you to be bound in chains. Grandparents, same thing. All of us. Broken chains. The Lord can break them. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry will lead us in singing.